Blog Talk Radio.
You are my protector, and you are my provider, and my deliverer. There's no other help I know. You are my protector, and you are my provider, and my deliverer.
Good News Media Productions presents What a Word from the Lord. Your host this evening will be Stevie R. Butler. This show is dedicated to spreading the truth of God's Word, rightly dividing the Word of Truth. Feel free to call us live at 713-955-0508. If you'd like to email us your questions or comments or concerns, you can email us at goodnewsmediaproductions@gmail.com. You can also call our business line at 336-525-5843. Now, this show is brought to you by loving, faithful members of Churches of Christ around the world. If you need help finding a local congregation, please email or call us, and we would be more than willing and happy to assist you. Again, take out your Bibles and follow along, because you're listening to What a Word from the Lord.
Good News Media Productions presents What a Word from the Lord. And I'm your host, Stevie R. Butler, and this radio show is being broadcast from the Carolina Man Cave Studio in the great state of North Carolina. Ladies and gentlemen, there's been a lot of activities going on in this man cave this week. On Tuesday night, we had the Gospel Light radio show airing from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and now we got What a Word from the Lord, which is also airing now, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And on tomorrow night, Lord say so, we'll be airing the Gospel Light radio show once again from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And on Friday night, Stevie B's Acapella Gospel Music Blast, which will air from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Ladies and gentlemen, it is our dedication, it is our drive to bring you a word from the Lord Monday through Friday, to keep the saints encouraged, to keep you spiritually uplifted, and to keep you focused on the ultimate goal, and that is one day making heaven your home. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, before you retire for the night, I just want to give you a word from the Lord. Let us pray and thank God for this opportunity. Our most kind, gracious, loving Heavenly Father, the Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for blessing us to go through the various activities of the day. And you placed it on our hearts to come to this point in time in our lives that we are now on this broadcast proclaiming the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Just a portion of your word on tonight. And we pray that you would bless our listeners on tonight. We pray that some things will be said, that they will see the need to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ if they have not done so, or establish a relationship with you if they have not done so, Father, for that is the ultimate goal of this broadcast, to proclaim the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that you would bless my efforts on tonight. Pray that you would bless your words that go forth and produce that which is good, that in all things, Father, you will be glorified. Thank you so much for Jesus, for without his ultimate sacrifice, we will not even have a hope of eternal life. For us in Christ's name, we do ask it all. Amen. If you have your Bibles handy, I'd like for you to meet me in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 21. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 21 will be our lesson text for tonight. And Paul writes unto the Christians in Ephesus, and he tells them in verse 21, unto him be glory by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. I'm going to talk about perhaps what could be and might be to most people, not only in the city in which I live, but also in the city in which you live, the greatest secret in town. And that is the Church of Christ. Sometimes there are members of the Church of Christ that need to be reminded of the Church of Christ. And a lot of times we have visitors who come to the church that don't understand the Church of Christ. And so we trust that it will be, that we will be able to remind us, even us, about the Lord's church and the value of the church. And hopefully together we can study God's word on tonight and learn better how to appreciate what might be not only in my city, but I'm sure in your city as well. And I'm convinced that it is when we look at the great number of people in where we are who do not understand the Church of Christ. And when I say this, I mean to understand, not just to hear the word, but to understand the Church of Christ. And so I'm going to make it my effort on tonight. And my objective tonight is to try to share with you a message from this subject, Christ. When we in the first place try to consider the Church of Christ, I want to suggest to you in the first place, and this is just in the introduction, that the Church of Christ has no earthly headquarters. The Church of Christ has no earthly headquarters. And when I say this, I mean according to the Bible. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18, the Bible says, and he, that's Jesus, is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. So the Bible says that Jesus is the head of the church. Now in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 22, Peter says, who is gone into heaven, that's Jesus, and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. So Jesus is in heaven now. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 11, the Bible says that they went out to the Mount of Olivet and they saw Jesus as he ascended on the cloud. He went back to heaven, and Peter says he is now in heaven. The Apostle Paul says he is the head of the church. So the church of Christ has no earthly head because the head of the church is in heaven, which means that we don't have the right nor the authority from God to gather in any particular meeting on this earth and set up standards or policies for the church of Christ. Man does not have that right. And any group of people who would try to do that, they are in error in the word of God. They are diametrically opposed to God's everlasting word. But not only that, but just in introduction of this lesson, it should be understood that we don't have in the church of Christ, they didn't have in the first century in the church of Christ, they haven't had since the first century in the establishment of the church of Christ, no human creeds or human manuals to guide the church. The Bible is God's manual. The Bible is God's authority. And that's why we are going to be looking at several passages on tonight. And that's why whenever any of our brethren get up in front of the congregations of God's people to direct the thoughts of the people, we do it according to the word of God. And if we don't know what the Bible says, we are seriously studying that we may know what thus saith the Lord on any given topic or subject. If it is a Bible topic, God has something to say about it. And the reason why we need no human creeds or manuals is because the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and beginning in verse 15, Paul tells Timothy, and that from a child thou have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Then Paul goes on to say, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Doctrine means teaching. For reproof. Reproof means to rebuke. And for corrections, for the instructions in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. And that word perfect just simply means complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So the word of God tells us that the Bible itself is sufficient to guide us into all good works. If it is a good work, we have the Bible as our guide. If it is a work that is good, God says, I have the instructions. So if you want to know how to do good work, God says, open my Bible. It is sufficient to guide you unto all good works. So we use the Bible because this is God's creed book. This is God's standard of righteousness for mankind. The Bible is God's authority, and anybody who will teach and teach and teach and fail to teach God's word, they are not teaching according to God's authority. And it doesn't matter how many personal experiences are told, it doesn't matter how many illustrations are given, until the Bible is taught, cannot be converted. So I'm saying tonight that the Church of Christ has no earthly headquarters because Jesus Christ is the head and Jesus is in heaven, which means that the headquarters is where the head is, in heaven. Amen. We need no creeds. We need no manual. Well, somebody said, well, I know many churches, they don't have manuals. Well, it might be that you don't know all you need to know about many churches. Isn't that right? But let me tell you something. Number one, their manuals cannot convert folk to Christ. Their manuals and their disciplines cannot turn people to Jesus Christ. For the Bible declares that faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God, Romans 10 and verse 17. So I'm saying that we don't have any creeds in the church of our Lord. We don't have a written manual in the church of our Lord. It's all in the word of the Lord. And when we go to the word of God, it is sufficient. Let me give you 3 points to this lesson, and the lesson will be yours. The first thing I want to talk about tonight is the names of members of the Lord's church. And then the second point we want to look at is the founder and origin of the church. And then lastly, we want to look at the function of the church. So the first thing we want to see, some of the names for members of the churches of Christ. And we're going to look at some of the names of the members of churches of Christ. In other words, names of the members of the churches of Christ collectively. Collectively. The Bible talks about this when it says in Acts 20 and verse 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost have made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he had purchased with his own blood. So the Bible says, these words are coming from the Apostle Paul unto the elders of Ephesus at a little place called Miletus. And he said in verse 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost have made you, you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he had purchased with his own blood. So the Bible says collectively, the church is called the church of God. You see that? Now this does not refer to a man-made church. I know men have come many years later and they've adopted the name Church of God, but this is not talking about the church of God originated by men. This is talking about the church of God, Christ. The church of God, Christ. The church of Christ, the Christ who gave his blood for the church. Paul said, which he had purchased with his own blood. Who was it that went to Calvary and gave his blood for the church? According to John chapter 19 and verse 34, John says, then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. Verse 33, but when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. Verse 34, but one of the soldiers with a spear to his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. Blood to purchase the church, water a symbolic speech to wash away sins. So the Bible is saying that the church was purchased by a God at Calvary's cross who gave his God-given blood. Amen. That God, ladies and gentlemen, was Christ. So when the Bible says church of God, it's talking about the church of the God who gave his blood. Amen. So the Bible is talking about the Christ who gave his blood. Not only that, but collectively, the church of our Lord is referred to as the churches of Christ. The churches of Christ. Somebody say, well, I know that we're all, everybody that's in the religious world, they are all members of the churches of Christ. Well, let's just see what the Bible has to say. In Romans chapter 16 and verse 16, Paul says, salute one another with a holy kiss, the churches of Christ salute you. Now somebody says, now Brother Butler, I understand, I see that in my Bible, but what about this church I'm in now? Well, what about this building that I'm sitting in now? Well, we're going to put that together also. The Bible says in verse 16 of Romans chapter 16, salute one another with a holy kiss, and the churches of Christ salute you. Now, somebody said, and they interpret this. Let me tell you something about interpretation. The Bible, let me say this again. The Bible is its own best interpreter. Now, I know a lot of folks say, well, Brother Butler, that's your interpretation. I'm just reading and quoting the Bible. And the Bible will stand for itself. Thank God that we have a book that will stand for itself. Amen. Because often men fail to stand for the Bible. But the Bible says today, and the Bible will continue to say, that if nobody stands for me, I'll stand for myself. If Butler turns his back on me, I stand as truth independent of Butler. Amen. I don't have to have him. And thank God for those who will stand for the truth. Amen. So we're talking about a kind of truth that will stand for itself. It doesn't have to have the approval of man in order to be pleasing in the sight of Almighty God. So when the Bible says the church is Christ, what is it talking about? What is it talking about? Is it talking about all the denominations of the world? Well, let's just read the Bible. The Bible says in the same chapter of verse 1 of Romans chapter 16, Paul says, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister. Paul was writing and he's saying that Phoebe is a sister of mine. Now, we don't know, and nobody has ever read, we don't know if Paul had a sister in the flesh or not. But Paul is saying here that I have a sister here in the Lord, and her name is Phoebe. And then he says in that latter part of verse 1, which is a servant, don't you like that? Which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea. He says, Phoebe is a servant. She is my sister. She is a servant at the church, in the church at Cenchrea. Now, somebody says it didn't name the church. Well, just hold on. Just hold on. Paul said, which is at a church. She is a member of a congregation of a church in a place called Cenchrea. Drop down to verse 4. Paul says, who have for my life laid down their own necks. He's talking about these ladies now. Unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. You see that? We got a church at Cenchrea. Now the Bible says the churches of the Gentiles. Here are some congregations of churches of are people who have collected themselves together, assembled themselves together, and they are referred to as the churches of the Gentiles. Somebody said, well, it didn't say what kind of church. Well, let's just stay in the Word of God. Amen. The Bible says in verse 5, likewise greet the church that is in their house. Here is a church that's in somebody's house. There is a church that is in a place called Cenchrea. Then there's a church. There are churches of the Gentiles. When you say churches of the Gentiles, then you say church in Cenchrea and church at somebody's house. Together you say in verse 16 what Paul said. Salute one another with a holy kiss, and the churches of Christ. Congregations of the churches of Christ, more than one. That one at somebody's house. You got that one that's at Cenchrea, and those churches that are among the Gentiles. You put them together. All of these churches, Paul says, salute you. And he calls them the churches of Christ. That's why he could say, salute one another with a holy kiss. And the churches of Christ salute you. The Bible is its own best interpreter. Amen. We don't have to say that's what it's talking about. No, the Bible says it right here. This is talking about the churches of Christ. Paul is writing to the church at Rome, and he's telling them, all of these churches salute you. Paul is saying, now all of these make up the churches of Christ, because they're all following the apostles' doctrine. They all believe the same thing. They're all walking by the same rule. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 16. Then the Bible talks about, and I'm just going to have to give you some references here, but the Bible talks about in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 23, the church of the firstborn. The church of the firstborn. It's talking about here the church of Christ. And again, talking about the church that is a part in heaven and a part of earth. Collectively, church of the firstborn. Then in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, the Bible says the church is the house of God. Paul says, but if I tarry long, that thou may know how thou ought to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. So Paul is saying that the church is referred to collectively as the house of God. Again, in the same verse, the Bible is saying that the church is the church of the living God. That's why I know that members of the church of Christ, ought to be alive. Amen. Ought to be alive, active, involved, excited, motivated, ready to go for God. Amen. Because the Bible says the church is the church of the living God. And we must be alive, because I tell you tonight that my God is not dead. My God is not dead. And he's still in charge of all the activities of this world. Still alive. Very much alive. And the saints of God must be alive like their Father is alive. Isn't that right? Not only that, but in the same verse, Paul says the Bible talks about the church and calls it the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. Here it is talking about the church collectively, and talking about the church is that foundation. It is that foundation upon which members must be in and upon. The church of our Lord is the pillar, not pillows, amen, but the pillar. Thank God that the church is not a place for rest, but it is that foundation that we must get moving for God. It's the pillar and ground of the truth. And on this truth rests all of Christianity in the Lord's church. Thank God for this great foundation of truth that we can rest ourselves upon. The church collect called the body of Christ. In Acts chapter 18 and verse 8, the Bible says the Corinthians herein believed and were baptized. So Paul writes to these same Christians that obeyed the gospel in Acts chapter 18. Now Paul is writing to them, and he tells them in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 27, now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. So the Bible is saying those saints in Corinth who obeyed the gospel of the Son of God, Paul says, now ye are the body of Christ. So when you talk about the church collectively, you are talking about the body of Christ. So these are just some of the names that the church is called collectively, which brings us to the second point of our lesson. Now then, let's look at the founder and origin of the church. When we look at this, we see in the first place that Christ is the foundation of the church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11, Paul says, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Christ is the foundation, not foundations, plural. But notice your Bibles now. Foundation of the church. He is that one foundation of the church. He is that foundation. Paul says, "An other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ." In other words, you might lay something, but it would be in vain. That's why the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 6, "But Christ as a son over his own house." Whose house are we? So the Bible says in Psalms 127 and verse 1, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain." In other words, if you build on another foundation, you're going to build something that's in vain in the sight of Almighty God. So we must stand with what the Bible says. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" Jesus wanted to know. I believe Jesus is still asking. He's asking the church on earth today, "What are these folks saying about me?" And I say today they're saying, "Lord, many different things." And he says back to me, "Butler, you know what? You better get busy trying to tell them the truth about me, because I want them to know the truth about me." And he's telling all of us, go out and tell them the truth about me, that they might have the right concept of me. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 14, the Bible says, "And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist." They're answering this question now. "Some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And Jesus said, "I want to know, what do you say about me?" I want to just home in just a little bit. I know I asked you a general question, but Jesus is saying, "What do you say about me?" Now, you fellows have been following me. You've seen me raise the dead. You've seen me heal the sick. You've seen me set up a restaurant on the hillside and feed 5,000. You've seen me call people who were bent over physically and I straightened up their bodies. You called the little children to me just for me to lay my hands on them. You know about me. Now, who do you say that I am? Thank God for a man inspired of God, who said, "Thou art the Christ. Thou art the Christ." Jesus said, "You are Peter. And what you've just said is the truth. But don't go rejoicing just yet, because what you've just said came directly from heaven. God in so many ways stepped into this situation and said, I don't want anything to go wrong with this. Peter, I don't want you to mess up, because my son is serious now. And he's had enough distortion regarding him already. I don't want you to mess up the answer to his question." And God told him to tell him who he is. And the Holy Spirit told him, tell him that he is the Christ. And Jesus told him, "Peter, flesh and blood didn't tell you to say this, but my Father from heaven told you. and now you got it right. And I want you to know that I know you are Peter. And then he says, upon this rock, this Petra, upon this Petra, I will build my church. He's not talking about Peter. That's another word. He said, upon this Petra. He didn't say Petros. He said Petra, this rock, this wide, bare rock. I'm the foundation. That's what he's talking about. I am that Petra. I am that wide, massive rock. He says, upon all this truth, upon all this wide span of truth, I'm going to build my church. I'm going to build my own church. This is a promise now. Jesus didn't join the Sadducees and the Pharisees and their scene and the zealots. He said, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. He promised to build a church. It was not many years afterwards Jesus built the church. And on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, the church became a reality. And people were added to the Lord's church, Acts 2 and verse 47. And Jesus, again, let me use Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18, where Paul says, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. So Jesus is the head of his church. He built it. Why can't he be the head of it? Amen. Then in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28 again, the Bible says, let me use this another time. The Bible says, Paul says to the elders of Ephesus, take heed therefore unto yourselves and unto all the flock over which the Holy Ghost have made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he had purchased with his own blood. So Jesus is the purchaser of the church. He built the church. He promised to build the church. He built the church. He is the head of the church. But not only that, but he is the savior of the body. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 23. The husband is the head of the wife, Paul said, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the savior of the body. He is the savior of the body. So Jesus is the savior of the body, and the body is the church. Amen. He is the savior of the body, and the body is the church. He is not saving but one body of people in the world. Now, if a person is not in that church that's in the Bible, that person cannot be saved. Brother Butler, you telling me if I'm in this church, you might want to call a bunch of names, I can't be saved? I'm saying if you're not in the body, the one body of Christ, you cannot be saved. And on that rock, I stand. With all love in my heart, I stand. Because if you don't find the truth, then you will forever be lost. You can't be saved in any other body. It must be the body of Christ. And this is what we find in the Bible, the Word of God. And as children of God, we must follow Christ. Amen. You cannot obey the gospel of Christ and then not be a member of the church of Christ. Salvation is in the church of Christ. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 10 that salvation is in the church of Christ. And I'm going to have to just give you some passages. That's right, it's in your Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. No man can become a new creature outside of the body of Christ, because in Christ, men become new creatures. Also, other names that members of the Lord's church wear is Christian. Acts chapter 11 and verse 26, the Bible says the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Also, 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 16, Peter said, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God. So then lastly, the last point I want to give you for this lesson. The church of Christ is a worshiping and serving organism. It's a worshiping and serving organism. And I say organism because when the word body is used for the church, it's not talking about just a body. It's talking about a working organism. That's why the Bible says, and ye are the body of Christ. Ye are the organism of God. And every person who is a member of God's organism must be working. You say, Brother Butler, am I the head? No, Christ is the head. Am I baptized into the head? No, we are baptized into the body, and every member is a member of the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 27. Christ is the head. He is the only one that is given commandments, and he is the authority. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17. Paul said, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of, all by the authority of Jesus Christ. Everybody else is baptized into the body. So we must function in that organism, the body. Now, in our functioning, what are we to do? What are we to do? Well, we do on the first day of the week when we assemble ourselves for the purpose of worship. Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow and continue his speech unto midnight. They came together on the first day of the week to break bread, and Paul preached unto them. And see, you can preach anytime you find folk. Any night, any day of the week, any night of the week, just like I'm doing right now. But they broke bread on the first day of the week. And that's why when saints assemble, they assemble for the purpose of worship. And what's included in that worship is the breaking of bread, the communion with the Lord. So this is two things that you see that must be done, in bread and preaching. We must give, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. Now concerning the collection of the saints, as I've given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, there it is again. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you, lay by him in store as God has prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come. Somebody said, well, I don't have it. Well, he promised that if we would put him first, that he would give two things, clothes and food. And that's basically what we need. You know, he didn't even promise us a house in that particular passage. If you got some clothes and food, you know, you can find a place, you can find a house. Amen. You got some clothes and your stomach is full, you can walk somewhere and find a place to lay your head. Amen. It might be up under one of God's trees, but you can find a place to lay your head. So we must give weekly. Then the Bible says in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42 that we are to continue in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayer. So we come together to pray. That must be done every week, to continue in the apostles' doctrine. Then we come together to sing praises unto God. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 15. The Bible says that we are to sing with the spirit and sing with the understanding. If you read the whole context, it's talking about singing according to the teachings of God's word. Ahead of that, it said in verse 8 of 1 Corinthians 14, "For if the trumpet gives an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to battle?" So what it is teaching is, so when you preach the gospel, make sure that it's authorized of God, so the folk can march according to God's order. That's why the Bible says, "I will sing with the spirit, I will sing according to God's authorization, and I will understand as I sing." That's why we don't sing with mechanical instruments of music, because you can't sing with the spirit and do that. Amen. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 12, "In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee." Now, friends, ladies and gentlemen, what we have studied tonight has been the word of God. And I know I've given you a lot of verses, scriptures, but you know what? These scriptures are in your Bibles. And I'm going to plead with you tonight that you have listened, and I trust that you have that I have not been so rapid in what I've been saying that you have missed what I've talked about on tonight. But I trust that you have listened well, and that you know now, according to your Bible and mine, that the church of Christ is right. And I hope you realize now that you must be in the church of Jesus Christ in order to one day make heaven your home. Then the Lord's invitation. I know that we're not assembled together, but I'm going to tell you what God says regarding salvation, because I would be remiss in my responsibility if I did not at least tell you what you had to do in order to be saved. If you are not a child of God, and one cannot be a child of God until you are a Christian, until you have been born again as the Bible teaches, then you are lost outside of Christ. It's not enough to be religious. You must obey the commands of the Lord. In order for a man to be saved, you must take heed and answer the gospel call. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 14. You must hear the gospel. John chapter 6 and verse 45. Romans chapter 10, verse 14 and 17. And the facts of the gospel are the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 3. You must believe the same. James chapter 2 and verse 24. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. The Hebrew writer says, "Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." You must repent. Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5, Jesus said, "I tell you nay, but except you repent, you will all likewise perish." And Paul said in Acts chapter 17 and verse 30, that God commanded all men everywhere to repent. You must confess your faith in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33, Jesus said, "If you don't confess me before men, I will not confess you before my Father." You must be baptized in water for the remission or the forgiveness of your sins. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Acts 10 and verse 48. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21. And if you are a Christian, if you've not been faithful in your service to God, you've not been living the testimony you've been given, then you can repent and pray. Acts chapter 8 and verse 22. Ladies and gentlemen, what I have given you tonight has been the word of God. And I hope and trust that you can see now that the Lord's church, the churches of Christ, is right. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you for spending a little time with me on tonight. And it is my prayer that this lesson tonight will be beneficial to your spiritual lives and your relationship with the Lord. I pray God's continual blessings upon your lives. Good night, everybody. God bless you.
And if you miss me from singing,
sing it.
And you can't find me nowhere,
nowhere.
Come on up to glory.
Glory.
I'll be singing the fair. Yes, I will. And I know the Lord, He will greet me over yonder,
over
on the other shore. To glory.
Glory,
I'll be praising the fair.
I'll be praising the fair.
Heard the safety of the day, Lord.
From the Lord with Stevie R. Butler, episode 3.